Like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. If you would turn to Job, the 27th chapter. Job 27, verse number 8. It says, "For what is the hope of the hypocrite?" You know, we love hypocrites that come to church. Right. Amen? Because God can change them in a twinkling of an eye, you know, not just pretending they're religious, but becoming sanctified. "For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul?" I mean, if you've accumulated everything, I know several multimillionaires, you know, they have everything they want, but at the end, will it make a difference? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? That's the question. And then Psalms 18. Verse 41, "They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not." Realize there are some things that, well, God just won't answer. There are some people who God will not answer. And then Psalms 34 and verse number 15, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." You want to get an audience with God. That's what we want. Well, then we have to live for God first. We can't say we live for God and we're not living for God and then expect that God is going to come to our rescue when we have trouble. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. Touch it, anoint it, bless it, make it alive in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, every message is to help us, not to hurt us. And I've got to preach it all. I can't just select the things that make us giddy and comfortable. I can't be a teacher having itchy ears, preaching the things I know you want to respond to, but there's sometimes things that we need to hear. There were sometimes when your parents told you some things that you didn't want to hear, but when you became an adult, when you put away childish things, all of a sudden you recognize, you know, I'm glad they did that. In fact, the people who love their parents the most are the ones who had parents who were strict, you know. I didn't get many lickings when I was a kid because I was kind of a perfect child. But all my dad had to do was look at me. Okay, you know, glory to God. Have you ever made a large purchase and then you had problems with it? Maybe you really sacrificed for it. You wanted it, you know, finally you're able to purchase it. And then you had problems with it, and you made many calls to the store, the manufacturer, and there was just no response whatsoever. It's such a good feeling. It makes you glad that you bought the product from them. Yeah. You could leave negative feedback, but that really doesn't help you much. It might help the person who is going to consider them in the future. So, all right, let's bring it home. I've called people who haven't been around for a while, but sometimes I get absolutely no response from them. Obviously, something has changed, and they no longer want to return my calls. Why? Because there's something going on in their life. The real scary thing is that same scenario could happen with God. We're having trouble with life. The life that God paid for, and we know God can fix trouble, any kind of trouble, and yet it seems that God just hasn't been answering the phone. We call and call, we pray and pray, and we don't seem to be getting any response. So what is the problem with our connection with the manufacturer of our life? Why isn't God giving attention to the problems that we have? We have a lot of praying people in this church. This church is a praying people. That's part of why God blesses our lives. We have Sunday prayer in the morning and Sunday prayer at night and Wednesdays and Friday nights and Saturday mornings. And there are a lot of people who come to church during the day just to pray, and praying at home. We recognize the value of prayer. And the older I get, the more cognizant I am of time and what's valuable, and I try to accomplish something every day. And I feel prayer is one of the best uses of my time. And if you don't feel that prayer really is significant in your life, well, then you avoid it. I can take care of myself until there's some situation in your life, and then you want immediate response from the manufacturer of your life. Hallelujah. But I want to be sure God is listening and he'll respond. I was only in the church for a few months when I came across a scripture that I didn't understand, and I went to my pastor for clarification. I really thought this just doesn't fit the scenario of God. And we find in John 9 and 31, Jesus said this: "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." I was thinking, God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who is just so far from God and they reach out to God. God responds to that. But I believe he's talking to somebody that knows God. So apparently God hears some prayers, and some prayers he doesn't hear. The word sinner here means to miss the mark. And we all have missed the mark at one time or other, or just not done what we knew was right. I know I should do this, but I don't think I want to. Notice that if we aren't right with God, it shows up in our lack of worship. When we're not doing well, it's not only hard to communicate with God, but it's hard to worship God, and it's hard to do God's will. And those are the two issues that allow us to have an audience with God. And then it seems that the phone lines are down. And then it becomes frustrating. God, I've been praying and praying. You just haven't responded. Maybe it's something in my life that hasn't been taken care of. Glory to God. When did Adam and Eve stop communicating with God? When they disobeyed God. No more walks in the garden in the cool of the day. You know, now all of a sudden they're separated from a daily communication with God. I want to be able to have a daily communication with God, and it's predicated based on how am I living for God. Is this too hard for Sunday morning? I could preach this tonight. We all by nature have the same tendency to hide from God after a bad day, or just not want to talk to him at all, you know. I see from time to time people who walk right by me and they don't want to look at me. And I'm thinking, what's going on in their life? You know, hi, Pastor, things are going well, you see. I remember shortly after my daughter got her little dog, a teddy bear dog, the cutest thing, you know. Everybody was gaga over this dog, and it had this one habit. It would go into anybody's purse that was on the floor and take a chapstick out. Love chapstick, especially the red ones. And then the dog would go behind the couch and chew up that chapstick, you know, and then come back like nothing else had happened, although the whole front of its mouth was red from chapstick, you know. Love me anyway. I don't want to hide from God because of something foolish that I did. It's so simple. We just ask God to cleanse our heart and forgive our trespasses, like I read in 1 John 1 and 9. Just keep my hands clean in order to worship God. If you know you're doing right, it's just such a privilege to come into his presence and want to worship God. And then come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need. I have confidence because I'm living for God that I know God will respond to my request. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. You know? We've all learned to sanitize our hands this year. We pretty much beat the flu, and you know, there's some habits that will stay with us probably forever because we recognize that there's a lot of germs on our hands, and the same thing could apply to our heart, you see. Take a look at Job, the 17th chapter. Job chapter 17 and verse number 9. It says, "The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger." And then Psalms 24 and 4 says, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of our salvation." So it's a matter of keeping ourselves right with God. You know? Some people feel like they can do whatever they want all week long and then ask God for forgiveness and then we're all right. Well, God is merciful and he does forgive, but not willfully sin. What if we kept cleansing our spiritual hands? Perhaps more of our prayers would simply be answered. You see, God is more interested in the condition of the petitioner than he is in the petitions that we make. So there are some prayers that God is not responding to based on the condition of the individual who is praying. And we need to understand that because we get frustrated because there are some things we know God says we can have, and then when we can't have it, what we need to understand is maybe we need to use some sanitizer, you know, to make our hands clean based on the conditions on the individual who is praying. Yet our scripture said, "If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth," or hears all of the time. Our prayers come up before God as a memorial, and God has to respond to those prayers. Glory to God. I don't want to have a form of godliness and deny the power of God. That's what's going to happen in the end times. You come to church and, you know, we give our little time and put a few dollars in the offering and we think, okay, that's good. And then when we have trouble, we have a real need. Thank God for the prayer warriors. Thank God for those who are saying, hey, I'm going to live 100% for God because God's listening. Did I hear something from that individual? God sees when we have taken the chapstick and went behind the couch. You know, he sees it all, folks. It's hard to run up to the front and raise our hands when we're not doing well. Amen. So grateful for those people who come up front. It's not because they want to make a display of themselves. It's just they just feel I want to get closer to, I want to demonstrate how much I love God, you see. And according to our scripture, two things open the ears of God to our petitions, to our prayer, and that's worship and doing his will. So as we're worshiping, and you know, maybe we should set the formula like it is in Matthew 6. First worship, and then prayer. And that's what we do here as an order of church. Our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Long before, give us this day our daily bread, we're worshiping God because it literally puts us into presence of God. Lead us not into temptation. You know, deliver us from evil. So my life is right with you. And then God's saying, grant it. Amen. You got it. Hallelujah. And apparently, it doesn't matter how sincere we are or how aggressive we become or how long we have prayed. Oh, God, help me with my finances, but you won't give to God. Oh, God, bless my family, but modesty isn't that important. And God's saying, okay, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I can't respond because God has to conform to what his word says. There are some things that hinder our prayers. And they're kind of obvious. If you go to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. First Peter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. It's not so much what we can dude up, you know, as who is the dude. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement or alarm. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So there's certain requirements of ladies, certain requirements of men, and God's saying, if you do that, you know, we're going to open some doors for you. You're going to see some things in your life that you wouldn't see except you respond to the word of God. I just don't want my prayers hindered. Walking around thinking God's hearing me when God's not hearing me. Hallelujah. A compromise. We're living in a world of compromise. We're even seeing the compromise in church, and then people who are frustrated, and now all of a sudden we have to have some entertainment rather than entertaining the presence of God. It should be an overwhelming power of God that compels us to come to the altar or want to live for God. I feel the presence of God so strong, I just want to get closer and closer. And you know, if you've been around for any length of time, you know what pleases God. So if you'll turn to Job, the 42nd chapter. Job 42, verse number 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Job's in trouble. Job's been sick. Job has lost just about everything, his kids, his wealth, and all he's got is his wife who said, you know, Just condemn God and die. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I utterly that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto me, and I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. If we ever get to that place, I've said this so many times, I'd love to have an out-of-body experience just to get away from me. I get to the place where I'm so disgusted with me, I know I could do better, and sometimes, you know, I fail. Like Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of even the greatest of patriarchs in the Old Testament and the New Testament failed God, and yet God used them in a mighty way. David, a man after God's own heart, and he committed adultery and murder, and yet God says, okay, now that you have repented, cast me not away from thy presence. When you get to that place, look out, because we've got a God who's going to rush to you, like I said Sunday night, like a river that is just going to wash away everything and elevate you. Verse 7 says, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said, Eliphaz and Temani, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have spoken of me the things that is right, and my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job. Hallelujah. You know, you're praying, but I'm not going to answer your prayer. At least Job's gotten to the place where he said, you know, I abhor myself. I'm not doing well. I was questioning God, what's going on in my life? But I recognize, who am I to question God? Verse number 10 says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, which weren't friends at all. They were his accuser. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before, simply because he humbled himself and recognized, God, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. You see, the friends of Job, actually his accusers, thought God was hearing them. There must be something wrong with you, Job. These things have happened to you. Don't ever allow yourself to think because somebody's going through a trial, a sickness, or some kind of difficulty in their life that, well, that's the punishment of God. And that's what these 5 friends were doing. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be praying for them, not accusing them. Yet because of their accusations against a brother, their prayers were in vain until they finally got to the place where they repented and said, you know, who am I? It doesn't matter if we think we're right or not. We can't run down somebody in the church and then let's go to a prayer meeting. Forget it. Stay home. It's not going to work for you. You know, if you've got aught against somebody, you know what? The heavens are going to be brass. You're not going to get through on God's line because God just isn't listening. I know this isn't a real uplifting message, but do we want our prayers answered? Do we want to see greater things happening in our lives? See? How much sooner could Job have been healed? If he had prayed for the people who irritated him the most. Ooh, that's hard. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now, he didn't forgive them, you know. I've used the scripture before, but go to Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 3, it says, "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee," you know, irritation, said things that are wrong, "rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." So we take on the obligation of we've got to forgive everybody, and that's not what the Bible says. It's a misnomer in Christian religion that we have to forgive everybody. See, if I do something wrong, and I say, okay, God, forgive me, God will not forgive me unless I first repent. Now, why would God obligate us to do something that he's not obligated to do? So when people say, I'm sorry, you know, I should not have done that, well, that releases us to forgive them, hallelujah, and then they have an open window to God. If you go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 21. "You have heard," Jesus is saying, "you have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, or worthless individual, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, because of all of that, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." See, we have to have the right attitude. You know, could it be that I just got something against somebody? And God's saying, hey, you can't bring your offering to me until you get this thing squared away. God will never overrule his word. So before we pray, we should know if our prayer is in line with what his word says. The hypocritical example is this. Oh God, there is this guy at work that is really, really cute. And I know he's not saved, but if he could get saved, you know, if you could just allow me to have this relationship, there's a possibility that he could get saved. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Because 1 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with darkness?" And so what God is saying, you know what? You're asking for something that you should not be asking for, because all it will do is create all kinds of hurt in your life. Now, God wants to save everybody. Amen. James 4 and 3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, for things that are worthless or bad for you." There are some things I won't even ask God for because I'm afraid he's going to say no. And I've done that in the past, and as a result, I've had to pay the consequences. Amen. We can't ask God to help us with a relationship in the world. Verse 5 says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain?" And then Isaiah 66 and 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." We may have the misconception that because we obeyed Acts 2 and 38, well, we are special. There's no question about it. But just because we've obeyed that plan of salvation, that doesn't mean that we can ask God for anything and he'll just give it to me. It's not like the government, you know? God wants to give us the desires of our heart. He's not a Santa Claus. He's not a handout program, you know? It says in Psalms 37 and 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. God wants you to be happy. He's not in the takeaway business. He's in the giving business. He wants you to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wants to protect us from harm. He wants to heal our bodies. He wants to give us peace that passes all understanding. The word delight means to be soft and pliable before God. Not my will, but thy will be done. And we used to say that all the time. If the Lord willing, but now we've become a little too independent. I want to see more of our prayers answered. I want to see relatives in the church and families put back together. I want to see more people healed. You know, I want to see great demonstrations of God's Spirit when we get together and pray. There's just going to be a whirlwind, but there has to be some kind of preparation for that, you know? The same was true for Save Our Nation. All of these people were filled with the Holy Ghost. There was preparation for that. When Billy Cole had his revivals of thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world and even in the United States, the first prerequisite was to repent, get ready for God. You know, some have this religious view of repentance as penance, that you have to do something to hurt yourself in order to get into the presence of God. God's not looking for that kind of thing. He's just looking for the right attitude towards God. I know I'm nothing. When I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we need to ask according to his will. We all need to have that open door to God, especially for the times when we are desperate for his help, when we know that nothing else is going to work. We can't just do our thing and live any way we want. And then when trouble comes, God, remember me. No, we should be at the top of his list, you know? Take a look at Proverbs. I know we're using a lot of scripture this morning, but it can't be my opinion. Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and none of my reproof. You know, I tried over and over. I've been talking to you, but it doesn't matter. You're not responding. I've reached out to you. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Oh God, I never want to get to that place where he's not responding to me because I didn't respond to him in the first place, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Hallelujah. I don't know. I was brought up different, you know. When I was a child, I knew that I needed to go to church. I needed to have a relationship with God. My parents taught me this is the right thing. But today, there's so many people don't have any idea, and they're out there all by themselves to face all of the problems and all of the situations in their world by themselves, and they have to find a specialist, whether it's a doctor, an attorney, or somebody, in order to take up their cause. When God's saying, if you just acknowledge me, I'll take up your cause for you. Hallelujah. How many people in here have been healed of cancer, heart disease, and raised from the dead? Why? Because we trust in God. We acknowledge him on a regular basis. When you've tried everything and everything's failed, try Jesus. There have been people who have just left, decided they're not going to live for God anymore, and I've prayed for them, and I've asked them to come back to church, and they always have some excuse. But there comes a time when like 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10 says this, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, you have to have a love for this truth. Amen. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, when God sends you a delusion, there's no hope. When you've been told over and over and over again, this is the right thing to do, and you say, I'm just not going to. Or like it says in Romans 1 and 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The word reprobate means void of judgment. I mean, most of this world is just void of judgment because they see other people who are just doing whatever they want. They're thinking, well, no harm, no foul, but they don't recognize it's against God's word, and God can't come to their rescue based on that. If that happens, all of the prayers in the world just aren't going to change people when they get to, you know, I've seen people who have lost out with God, but years later they came back. But those who will badmouth what saved them, I don't know if there's a chance for them. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't keep praying for those people, but if you see that no regard whatsoever to the things of God, well, then maybe you need to start praying for some people who are really excited about learning more about our God. Our prayers have the greatest effect of change in the world than anything else that we can do. I remember when my sister was diagnosed with bone cancer, and the doctors came in, the specialists came in and said, well, listen, there may be a 10% chance that you could survive this. So just we'll try to make you as comfortable as you possibly can, get everything in order. And I remember my sister saying, no, I'm going to fight this. I believe God can take care of it. 10% for God is an enormous odds, you know. Glory to God. So she needed a bone marrow transplant. They asked me if I'd be a donor. I said yes, but I didn't match my sister. And so she found a donor in Germany. I think it was a relative of Albert Einstein, you know. And she went through the process, and that's been, what, 12 years or more? And some of you have the same story because God is for you. He's not against you. He wants to be there. He's your backup, if you will. Hallelujah. Prayer, I've said this before, never ever dies, but continues to work change in your life. Hallelujah. The things that I prayed for 40 years ago, God is still feeling it's relevant. We are who have worshiped before God, did His will, lived for Him, have a right of petition before God. And that will last for eternity. Hallelujah. I so thankful for, no, don't get me wrong, for this pandemic that caused us to do YouTube and live streaming, because it takes us outside of this congregation. I got an email from some guy in Tokyo who said, I love your preaching. Can you come to Japan in order to be with us, all the way from Tokyo, because they're getting truth, information that they have never heard before, folks. Hallelujah. So if our musicians would come to last scriptures, Revelation, the 8th chapter. Revelation 8, starting in verse number 1, it says, and when he had opened the 7th seal, this is something that's going to take place, this is a prophecy, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. I believe that this is the only time in heaven that there's going to be silence. Hallelujah. And I saw the 7 angels who stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and was given unto him much incense, that should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints. That's us, folks, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. Folks, our prayers can cause lightning and thunder and earthquake. You don't understand how powerful the privilege that we have to come before the throne of God and ask for things. See, there's no limitation to what God can do, except He has to have somebody pray for it. And that's us. And then our last scripture, Psalms 34. Psalms 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Oh God. Oh God. I want you to hear. Does that mean that God will always respond to what we want? Not always. It's not that He doesn't hear. And as I've said before, delay is not denial. And some things that we've been praying for, there are some things I know God is going to fulfill in my life. I know it, but He hasn't as yet, but He will. I'm confident in that. But the privilege I have to pray, to effect change, miraculous change in the lives of people. Hallelujah. I end with this. Some years ago, a lady called me and said, I've got a neighbor whose son is in the hospital, in a coma. Kidneys are failing, liver's failing, and they haven't known what the cause is, and they give them 2 days in order to live. They have two little kids. Pastor, they don't know God. Would you come? They said yes. If you can have your pastor come and pray, we want that to happen. Because right now, nobody else is giving us any kind of hope. So I went in. Here's this young man, maybe 24 years old. He's just unconscious. And the entire hospital room is filled with relatives. There must have been 20 relatives in there. And they didn't have access to God. Oh, I believe they believed in God, but it just didn't. We don't know what to do. So I took a little oil. I smeared it on his head, like the Bible says. And I prayed, God, raise him up so he could know you, so he could raise this family. And the room, I'm telling you, that room filled with the power of God. Because God was opening a window. And I turned around. I said to everybody, thank you. I walked out of the room. And as I walked out of the room, I felt like I was the Pied Piper, because every one of those people started to follow me and said, what did you do? What is going on? Because they felt something they had never felt before, because God opened the windows for a petition for somebody who didn't know God at all. But we're in that place, folks. Amen. We're in that place. Amen. 2 days later, I got a call. Said, John's home. He was supposed to die in 2 days, but there was somebody who stood in the gap, somebody who prayed, who knew God, who's been worshiping God, who's been doing whatever God wants that's pleasing. God said, I want more people. You don't need a pastor to do that. You don't need a bishop. You don't need somebody who's ordained. You have the Spirit of God within you. You have power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. We're living way below our privilege of what God wants to do in our lives. And then when those things happen, guess what? Hey, could I learn more about this God that healed my son? All of a sudden, they want more. Where do you go to church? Because that's not happening where we go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Ready or not, here I come. And I believe that God wants to get our church ready for the spectacular signs, wonders, and miracles, because those are the things that draw people to the whole truth. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?